Welcome to a very special episode of Plaid Skirts and Basic Black, the Black Catholic podcast that you can't believe you've been this long without.
I know.
Oh my God. It's crazy. I am your co-host, Marcia, and I am joined by...
Hi, I'm Shannon.
That's a long name. If you don't notice there's a delay, if you notice that there's not a delay, then you're right. We are not recording
same
remotely.
Room.
We're in the same room. We're like the Vax pack. We are in the same room recording this podcast for you. And the last time we did that was the season 6 premiere, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
We talked about Blues Brothers back in September.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Well, welcome back, y'all.
Yeah, we've been through a whole pandemic.
We're still in the pandemic. It's, what do you mean been through? We're going through it.
We are.
It is legit. We're in the thick of it. So, before we start, we're welcoming a guest with us who is also part of the Vaxipad.
Yeah. Which was complicated. So complicated.
Our very favorite hagiographer, Meg Hunter Kilmer.
Yes. Woo! Yay!
I'm so excited to be here.
Meg, welcome to Plaid Skirts and Basic Black.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions for you.
Do it.
First, are you black?
I am not black.
That's okay. We'll still take you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Are you Catholic?
I'm so Catholic. Yes, the most Catholic
the most
one
Catholic
in
the room.
The most Baptist Catholic makes you Catholic, and that's
true.
Oh,
and
well, then I'm technically the most Catholic one.
It's true.
And it's true.
Because you are
the most recently baptized.
Yeah, still, hopefully, free from mortal sin. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Okay,
I better be.
I don't know. I can't judge
I haven't
you from
killed
outside.
Anyone since February. I have not committed murder or any other awful crime. I don't know what else is mortal sin. No, I haven't.
Ten Commandments is pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm good.
Okay. All right.
I'm good. I was like, what else is there? See, we're all set. See, I'm the most Catholic in this room.
Look at us.
Which is not correct because, y'all, I'm still a hot mess. I think.
But look, there's Catholic and there's not Catholic. There's not like quote Catholic.
Yeah.
There's not like good Catholic, bad Catholic. Did you get baptized? Mm-hmm. Then you're Catholic. Mm-hmm. You might be like a real bad sinner, but we don't have to call you not Catholic because that's not how sacraments work.
Mm-hmm. That's not, just I like that. It. That's not how.
Yeah.
Thank you, girl. I appreciate that.
I suppose
that.
You can be a heretical Catholic.
Uh huh. Yeah. But you're still Catholic.
But you're still there.
Yeah. But you're still it's still Catholic. Yeah. That's still there. It's still all universal.
Mm-hmm. No
all
heresy on this podcast, though.
Yes, no heresy.
Not today, Satan.
Not today. Before we move on and talk about who's Catholic, not Catholic, actually, we're not even talking about who's not Catholic. We're all Catholic here in this room.
We're not
going to even touch that. Let's talk about the weather. Right now where we are in Indiana, it is real dreary and rainy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's how it is in our hearts.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay, Shannon, do you want to tell us how's your weather in your neck of the woods?
So I'm going to call it like hot and sunny and hazy. Like, I don't really
lazy,
know
crazy,
what's
hazy,
going.
Days
yeah,
of
it is kind of a lazy, crazy
hazy
summer.
Days of summer.
Because I'm not really sure I know what's going on all the time, but like the Triduum is over. We just baptized some people. We celebrated the resurrection. I have a lot less stuff to do, and that's pretty great. And so, like, I'm still a little, like, you know, living day to day, but it feels good. It's kind of like, it's hot, but I like it, and I'm maybe a little sleepy. And I'll take a nap.
Oh my gosh, I love it. It's like, it's lazy, hazy, crazy day of summer, and I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Meg, what about you? How's the weather in your neck of the woods?
So you know those days in the mountains where the weather just keeps changing back and forth really fast,
mm-hmm.
and it's like super dreary and rainy and miserable, and then like the sun comes out, and then you're like, wait, there's not a single cloud in the sky, and then it's like ominous for a minute, and you're like, is it gonna be sunny right now, or is it, am I gonna get it covered in hail? That is the weather that I'm having right now, where I have like these sparks of like great joy, and then the Lord is like, oh, but we're still dealing with some devastation.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, your book is out. And I'm like, yay. And he's like, and here's the rest of your life. And you're like, huh. So yeah, it's one of those. Mm-hmm. But, gotcha. But that's a lot more sunshine than I've had for much of the last year. So
okay, well, yeah, that progress. Is great. Like, it's better to be covered in hail than be covered in hell. Yeah. Preach! This message brought to you by Protestant Mercy.
Yeah. Digging back deep.
Real deep. Let's see, my weather is a sunny beach day, right? Okay. The weather is beautiful and it's nice, but I have to decide if I'm going to go in the water to get the sand all over me or just stay on my towel. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. the fun is in the ocean. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to get some sand on me. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel, where it's like I could stay where I'm at and be comfortable, or I can... Ooh. Right? Ooh. Right? Uh-huh. Exactly. Because, uh-huh. you know, I really need a tan. So I could do that.
I mean, you do need sunscreen.
I do need sunscreen. Everyone needs sunscreen. You are correct. Yep. I'm at a point where I was like, I guess I'm going in the ocean and get all the sand on the way back. So that's where I am. It's a nice beach day. So there we go. Okay. We've talked about our weather. Let's talk about our guest. Mm-hmm. Right, Meg, I am so excited to have you here. For those of you who don't know, Meg Hunter Kilmer, who also has two last names like me.
Yeah, I'm like the odd man out here.
You are.
Have you ever been in the majority with the hyphenation before?
Never.
Wow.
No, never. I have a friend who has two last names as well, and then he got married and his wife took his last name. And it's so funny. So like the three of us, like all of us in the house were hyphenated last names. Like him, his wife, his kids, like all of us. It was like the greatest thing. We're like, this is amazing.
What do you do if you marry somebody who also has a hyphenate?
Like, this is a question I have been asked probably monthly since I was 4. My first crush in high school was Anwar Haji Jefferson James.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's amazing.
And yes, he was amazing. And we did not get married, but you know, everybody was very excited. Everybody available. Like, you know, my three girlfriends were very excited that my last name could be Hunter Kilmer Jefferson James. Yeah. I'll murder everybody. Yeah, I hate the hyphen. Yeah. I rail against it, but it's just like, it's complicated and it's you've got to put it on the forms and people always got to ask about it. And I'm like, you don't know me. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Like,
And then people choose one name or the other and it's really one of those things, but they often choose McGee and they write McGee on things. And when I'm trying to find those things, they can't find them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I like on official work documents, my boss still writes Marcia McGee. Mm-hmm. I go, that's not,
Or you go to the pharmacy and you're like, the last name's Hunter Kilmer, and they go to the K and you're like, it should be under H.
That's
it might be under K.
I'm like, Lane McGee, L. And they go, Miss McGee, we don't have to go. It's Lane hyphen McGee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they go, your middle name is hyphen? Oh my gosh. That's a whole thing. It is a whole thing. Like, it is. And I was like, right? So, Meg Hunter Kilmer, we're so excited to have you.
We are.
Like we said, you're our favorite hagiographer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely true.
What is a hagiographer?
A hagiographer is someone who tells the stories of saints' lives. So I tell about all of the possible saints and people who are maybe one day going to be saints. And I'm a little bit obsessed and I'm okay with
it. I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm all about it. Everyone's got to have a thing. Mm-hmm. And your thing is telling us about the saints. Mm-hmm. And
the boring ones.
But here's the thing though. Are there boring saints?
There are boring stories.
Mm. Right.
There are saints about whom we only know boring things.
Yeah.
Boring information in the world about these people.
Yes. Which is funny because they're saints, so there's no way their life wasn't extraordinary.
Right.
Like, it shouldn't be boring.
But sometimes the extraordinary is just, like, only internal, right? Mm-hmm, and so, it doesn't necessarily leave a lot of story. Like, all those, she was holy and became a nun. And I'm like, I understand that there was a lot going on inside her, but, like...
We need then that she was a nun.
Is just the story, you know. People tried to murder them while they were nuns, and like the other nuns tried to murder them. And I'm like, now this is a story I can tell. But,
there's a mass murdering princess. You were saying,
yes,
and I love that so much. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a saint who's a mass murdering princess.
Hey, repentance.
There's a saint who is a fascist. Mm-hmm. Like you were telling that
Isn't
story.
He amazing?
That's like insane, right? Like, and I love it all. Like, I'm like, all these saint stories, but here's the thing. this is why we need really good hagiographers, mm-hmm. right? Because back then, they were like, they were born, and they grew up and became a nun, and then they died in the arms of Jesus, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. But you're like, no, there's more to the story.
Or even if they have all the details, it's like, you know, legendary, miraculous mm-hmm. stuff, which is just not my jam, and some people are mm-hmm. into that, and like, mm-hmm. that's cool, but I'm like... Oh, and then she sailed on a boat made of stone to a talking deer who transformed into her guardian angel. Like, yeah. Sure.
What do I
like? Do I just. Well, and this is the other thing about the way that people tell saint stories. First of all, they make them super boring, and second of all, they make them not about Jesus. And I'm like, so I don't even know what we're doing right now. Like, I don't know what the point is, but like, I love the stories of the saints because they speak into people's brokenness. And they say holiness is possible in your struggle, in your dysfunctional family, in your disability, with your passions, with your loves, with your desires. Like, holiness is possible there. And so I love being able to tell, especially the stories of saints who dealt with real brokenness, and seeing people respond where you're like, oh, see, the devil has been lying to you and telling you that you can't be a saint because of X, Y, and Z, but you just heard the story of a saint who lived that same life. And just to see the weight lifted off people's shoulders when they see themselves represented in the saints is so beautiful.
That is really beautiful. And you're right, Sar. I think it's more than a great cloud of witnesses. I think, you know, like, I think that's what we hear. We hear it's a great cloud of witnesses. And you're like, okay, yeah, they're going to pray for us. But it's wonderful to see that example, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's why it's so important to make sure we have representation in saints.
Yes.
Right? Yes. You did a really great series on all the Korean saints. Mm-hmm. It was in your stories and in your main feed, mm-hmm. correct? And like, when people were really trying to find, like, there was a lot of Asian hate going on. And let's be real. People were recognizing the Asian hate going on. Yes. Because Asian hate has been on for a while. And we've just started as a country, like, collectively to notice, mm-hmm. right? I mean, as someone who was in the minority population, I recognize the hate that happens, and it's kind of awful and things like that. And even like the quote unquote infighting within different minority groups. Mm-hmm. And we recognize that. But you really did a really great job of highlighting, like, there's a place for you in this church. Mm-hmm. These are the Korean saints, right?
Yeah.
You did a whole thing with all, like, the African saints.
Yeah, all the Ugandan martyrs. Who,
yeah, that was great.
It turns out they're so great.
They're yeah. so
all I'd ever
heard. Oh, no, like, imagine that. Martyrs are great.
But, like, a lot of the and companions, it's like, here's the person we know about, and, like, there were other people there, mm-hmm. too. But there's a book that I found that tells you about, like, really the hearts of these men. Yeah. And I just get so excited when I encounter these people where I'm like, oh, like, you are my friend.
Mm-hmm. You know? I like, love that you friend. Do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are some saints where I'm like, you are somebody else's friend. You know, like,
someday.
Sometimes because I just, like, do not feel it. And sometimes because, like, it just, I'm not that excited about you. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And mm-hmm. it's always really cool to me when I feel drawn to tell a story that I don't really care about, because I so often get feedback then from people who are like, oh my gosh, like, that saint changed me. And I'm like, wow, because I read a lot of things about her and just could not bring myself to care. You know, but I know that God is working. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll, like, matchmake people with saints. And sometimes I'll just be like, this is super random and doesn't fit with any of the things you were saying to me, but I kind of want to tell you this story. And they'll just start to cry. And sometimes they'll be like, oh, I didn't tell you X, Y, and Z. And sometimes they're like, I don't know. I just love him. Like, mm-hmm. I just love him. And mm-hmm. it's just so beautiful because it is a relationship, you know? Like, it's a two-way relationship. It's not just, let me tell you this cool story. It's, let me introduce you to this person who has loved you since before you were born. Mm-hmm. Like, and how amazing is that? Like, my that niece, Mary Claire, absolutely adores a Congolese nun.
She's never met a Congolese nun she didn't love.
Her name is Blessed Marie Clementine Anwarita Nengapeta.
Oh, and a specific one. I thought you meant, like, she loves a taco. She loves a Congolese nun.
She loves a Congolese nun. Now she lives in rural Virginia. She's not met a Congolese nun. But Blessed Marie Clementine, she loves her so much. And it's, I mean, she saw the picture that the illustrator of my book did of her, but, like, she just connected with her. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that her feast day is on Mary Claire's baptism day. Mary Claire has a twin sister, right? So they were baptized the same day. And I was like, Mary Claire, I found out whose feast day is on your baptism day. And she was like, oh, who? And I said, Blessed Marie Clementine. And she gasped. And she clutched her heart. Oh. And tears, 7 years old, came to her eyes. And her twin sister, who has a feast, her baptism day, the same day, looked at her and was like, Mary Claire, she loved you so much. And it was just, it was just so beautiful because, like, Elizabeth, like, doesn't have that connection with Blessed Mary.
But that's okay.
And that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. She's just so excited for her twin to have that connection. Mm-hmm. You know? And just seeing that in small children and then in adults where it's just like, I don't know why. Like, I just love this person. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's because they love you. That's why it is. Mm-hmm.
And that's funny because when you say that and there are all these other sayings, I feel like super basic. I mean, that is the whole brand of our podcast because my favorite saint is Saint Mary Magdalene. And I feel like everyone's always, I feel like everyone, I'm like that she's totally like a major saint. Mm-hmm. And
she reached to the apostles about the resurrection. We just read it.
I know, right? I know. But do you know what I mean? So I was like, is that just real basic of me that I'm like, St. Mary Magdalene, but that is my girl, right? Like, it is a... So, like, here's the thing. I went through, a hard time when I was, around the time of my confirmation, and it was real rough. I chose Mary Magdalene because I really connected with her when I was Protestant. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was Protestant, Mary Magdalene in the Bible, that was my girl, right? Like, I was like, oh, my gosh, she's amazing. Like, my most favorite Easter speech ever, because I used to give Easter speeches in my church. I actually just wrote about it. I'm sure you read that part. And I was like, the story about when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw Jesus, and she's the one who proclaimed the risen Christ, very first person ever. It was, huge for me. I grew up with, the idea of holy boldness, right?
Yes.
All day long. So I was like, I just love Mary Magdalene. And I could choose her. And, she's my saint. I feel like she's it for me. And I never understood why. And when you're saying this, so my birthday is December 22nd.
Okay.
And then my confirmation day is April 22nd.
Okay.
Mary Magdalene's feast day is July 22nd. And it was and 22 is my number. Uh-huh. Like how Taylor Swift's number is 13, minus 22. Mm-hmm. Love her song 22. Mm-hmm. and it's just one of those things I was like, 22 is her number two. Uh-huh. And I remember when I learned that, I was so excited. It's just the craziest thing. I know.
Because it's just a cute little best friend thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just really exciting to learn that you have this thing with your best friend.
Really, really exciting. But I've always felt so basic. But you're telling me this. I go, maybe it's not so basic. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's mine. Well, and that's okay.
I'll help kids pick their confirmation saints or converts pick their confirmation saints. Mm-hmm. And, they'll come and be like, I love Saint Joseph. And I'm like, okay, tell me more. Because if you come to me and you're like, I don't know, I just love him so much, he's so important to me, I'm like, yes, do it. Or if you come to me and you're like, you can tell me why he matters, awesome. If you're just like, he's a dad and I'm a dad, I'm like, cool. So he's already praying for you. Let's find you somebody else. Let's see if we can match it up a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. So I have no problem with people loving basic saints if they love basic saints. Mm-hmm. But if it's just this is the only one that I know. If you want to pick Saint Sebastian for your confirmation saint because you think it's incredible that he was martyred twice, because you love his perseverance, because you want the courage to go back to the same people who have given you hell for loving Jesus and offer them the gospel again, I'm here for it all day. But if you come to me and you're like, I don't know, I like soccer. I'm like, okay, cool. So he never played soccer, but I have saints who did. Let me give you a saint who played soccer, or Saint Cecilia, right? Who I'm a musician. I'm like,
but she only sang when she was
47 saints who were actual musicians. She sang to God in her heart, and that's so beautiful. And there are so many reasons to love her, but it's not because she was a musician. Yeah. She wasn't a musician. Mm-hmm. So let me give you Dina Bélanger, Blessed Dina Bélanger, who was a composer who studied at a New York City conservatory.
Wow.
And was a concert pianist before becoming a nun. Mm-hmm. You're a musician.
There's a musician.
There's a musician. That's amazing. Composer, everything. Mm-hmm. So cool. Mm-hmm.
I love that. So we are in a group chat together with some other fantastic ladies. And whenever something comes up, everyone's like, this is what I need. Meg, is there a saint for my stub toe in the afternoon. And Meg will be like, yes, Saint Stubby of the Tonicus. Like, he is the patron saint of all stub toes at 3 in the afternoon. You're like, thank you, Meg. My toe is so much better now. And like,
okay, my two favorites. So one of our friends, she had her nephew needed to eat more food. That was the best. Yes. From the NICU.
Oh, it was amazing.
And I was like, oh my gosh, Saint Rafael Guizar y Valencia was arrested, ate 4 sandwiches, and they were so shocked, yada, 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 he got to go home from jail.
I know, it's amazing.
Like, that's kind of a lot to yada, yada. But I was like, this is your guy. He ate so much, he got to go home. And the baby went home the next
Girl, it was so crazy. Like, when that happened, we were like, Meg is magic.
It's like, Meg's
magic. Amazing. And then Catholics don't have magic. Right.
Was when someone asked about who's the patron of dresses with pockets. Yes. And I was like, but actually. Like,
I know
that you're joking. But Blessed Catherine Jerige found that her pockets and her skirt were inadequate. So she had a coppersmith make her medically sealed copper pockets that she tied around her waist. And then like stuck her hands the slits in her skirt into her like heavy duty metal pockets. Patron saint of skirts with pockets.
And like, so we had a friend who had a plumbing issue. And Shannon was like Saints Mario and Luigi of Nintendo. Pray for us.
I was like, oh my gosh, Saint Mario for Gara and Saint Luigi for Celia.
And we're like, that's like, not. And then you saw it. But then she actually picked up a plumber saint. Yeah, and then she's like, but this is a plumber saint. And yes. It's so great. And I love that saints as friends, right? Because like, gosh, like they have friends. Mm-hmm. We need friends. Like everyone needs a friend. I tell people all the time. No one gets anything on their own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ever, ever, ever. Yeah. Right? And it's really wonderful and beautiful to have people pray for us. Who is your saint? Do you have? I know you've got like a million.
You have a million. I have two best friends.
Okay. Let's hear about your best friends.
And it's kind of like, there's the one who's like loved you your whole life and is like so supportive and is like a soft place to land and is like safe. And there's the other who's like, you can be better than this. Like, I need you to step up. I need you to keep going. So it's beautiful. Like two very distinct relationships. So the safe and comfortable one is St. Barnabas, who from scripture, from the book of Acts, he was known as the son of encouragement. He's the one who brought Paul to the apostles. After Paul's conversion, nobody believed that Paul had really converted. And Barnabas was like, I know what grace can do. I know what grace can do, and I'll listen to you.
So St. Paul is one of my people.
Yeah.
So we're meant to be here together. Right.
So okay. I am St. Paul.
Right? Mary Magdalene is also in the Bible. Right?
She's she
preached to all the mothers.
She preached to all of them. It's fine.
So Paul and I have the same personality. We have the same life. Like, he lived out of a boat. I live out of a car. And, like, Paul was hard to get along with, right? And I think I'm generally easier to get along with.
Yes.
Like, I'm a lot. Like, I'm a lot.
And but Paul that's okay.
It is okay.
It's okay.
But, like, Barnabas loved Paul in all of his allotness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just, like, realized that Barnabas loved Paul, and I was like, well, maybe he can love me. And so I, like, sort of had a tender spot for him. And then one day, it was his feast day a couple of years ago, and I was praying, and I'm in a little Eucharistic chapel, and I was like, well, happy feast day, St. Barnabas. And I was so flooded with a sense of being loved, stronger than I ever felt in my life from anybody but God himself. Like, more than my daddy who wrote me poetry, more than the Blessed Mother. Like, I know Mary loves me more, but I just
felt it.
I felt the love of St. Barnabas so deeply, and just realizing that, like, he has cared about me from the moment he knew that I was ever going to exist. Like, he has been on my side, you know, and he has been praying for me, and like, he's got a particular intention he's in charge of for me that he has not managed in many years, but like, but he's sitting right there next to me, like, loving me. And when I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm there. Like, I love you and I'm here. And we're good.
I may talk to Miss Mary Magdalene.
Right?
Right? Yeah, like,
yeah, I will confess, I'm really bad at asking my saints for their prayers. Like, I kind of trust that they are, but I am definitely a reader of hagiography for the inspiration. Like, I remember once having a conversation with some other people who were Catholic who were just like, I just don't find the saints, like, I find it so like not off-putting, but they're like, I just feel like I can't live up to them. And I'm like, well, first of all, you need to meet Meg. And so, because she'll find you a saint who's like, not, you know, not like all that holy mm-hmm. or whatever you think it is. But also, like, when I read the lives of saints, I'm like, yes. Like, mm-hmm. and in some ways, like Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who's another one of my people, who he had this holy envy of like, I can be as good as them. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. me too.
Oh,
like,
that is so I've funny. Got that. Was he an Enneagram 3? He was probably an Enneagram 3.
Mm-hmm. and so, yeah. And so, that's like, I definitely don't, but I like, I'm praying with the saints when I'm walking with them, when I'm reading with
yes,
them.
Yes, exactly. Beautiful. I don't do a lot of like, saying their name and then saying pray yeah. for us. It's yeah. more like, yeah, like they're there with me. Like mm-hmm. once we're friends, if I'm thinking about them, they're like there interceding mm-hmm. with me. It's the same way, like when I'm praying for people, I don't really talk about their need. I just mm-hmm. like hold them at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. I just like love them mm-hmm. at Jesus, you know? Yes. And so I feel like the saints who love me are, I don't need to be like, hey, mm-hmm. I need you to pray for me. They're just sitting beside me and loving me at Jesus and like drawing me closer to him, which is just such a gift. But the other one is Blessed Peter Keevan.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about him.
Yeah. So he was a samurai, a Christian from a samurai family. So whenever I'm telling his story, I always like to just fight a little racism in the church and the world when I start. And good. So I ask people like, when was the gospel first preached in Asia? And if you have a particularly educated group, they'll say 16th century St. Francis Xavier. And I say, excellent, earlier. And, you know, like maybe you can get someone to be like, oh yeah, Marco Polo, China. And you're like, well, China first heard the gospel in the 7th century, earlier. And then somebody will be like, oh, India. And you're like, yes, St. Thomas, 52 AD, earlier.
Wow.
And then everybody stares at you and you're like, what continent was Jesus born on? And you see this like dawning in their eyes. And they're like, oh, because Jesus was born in Asia. The Middle East is in Asia.
Yeah,
the gospel was first preached when angels sang glory to God in the highest to Asian shepherds in an Asian field who went to see an Asian baby held by his Asian mother. Right?
Yes.
So
I'm look at me. I'm like, I'm the same. Right. Oh my gosh. Then, so yes. Like,
who's the first African saint? Simon of Cyrene, helping Jesus carry his cross. Right.
Yeah.
When is the gospel first preached in India? 52. My ancestors were still bowing down before trees when India, North Africa, Middle East were killing it as Christians, right? So like,
right.
it's just important to yes. remember that the church has always been a universal church, and it was mm-hmm. a Eurocentric church for an era, but mm-hmm. still not exclusively European, mm-hmm. right? Because there have been Christians in Iraq since the very beginning, and they have mm-hmm. persevered. Like, there have been Christians in India since still the year 52, mm-hmm. right? The church
yeah.
has always been
Asian. Everybody. And, well, Asian. Well, he's always been Asian, no?
Yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
But really,
yeah, exactly.
My gosh.
But
like
even when
is...
you look at the Acts of the Apostles, when you look at Pentecost, this list of the countries that people mm-hmm. are from, you're like, that's a y'all come, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's everybody. So anyway, like
it's a y'all come?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah. So the gospel has been Asian from the very beginning, but it wasn't preached in Japan until 1549, when Francis Xavier went to Japan and preached the gospel. Mm-hmm. So Blessed Peter Keevan's family heard the gospel, embraced it as a samurai family. He was born into a Christian family in 1587, studied with Jesuits, wanted to be a Jesuit. They were like, we're not sure you're committed enough.
Yeah. That was like real Alexis of
He's
them.
He's like, right. I'm a samurai.
I think you need to be more committed. Ew, Peter.
So he was like, well, can I volunteer with y'all? And they were like, okay. So he goes home, he makes a private vow that he will be ordained a Jesuit mm-hmm. priest. He volunteers with them for 8 years until all Westerners are kicked out of Japan. And they tell him, and he's like, okay, I'll get my bag. And they're like, oh, no, you're Japanese. And he was like, right, is there someone else here who's going to ordain me?
Mm-hmm.
No? Cool. I'll get my bag. Mm-hmm. So he goes, gets his stuff, sails with them to Portuguese Macau, which is in China, and he goes to the seminary there, and they're like, we don't ordain Japanese people.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, maybe was because Japan had just kicked all Westerners out and they were trying not to antagonize, probably is racism.
Mm-hmm. Probably. I mean,
so, that happens.
I wonder.
Right, So then he sails to Goa in India, where St. Francis Xavier had founded a seminary for the purpose of forming native clergy.
Yes.
Because all of these seminaries were like, oh, if you want to be a priest, like, you need to eat 3 meals a day, you need to eat at these times, you need to dress in this way, you need to nap at this time, mm-hmm. and they're just trying to make Europeans. And Francis mm-hmm. Xavier was like, No. Like, if this culture eats five times a day, let them eat five times a day. What on earth would be wrong with that, right? Mm-hmm. So he sails to the seminary thinking, like, these guys get me. And he gets there, and they're like, yeah, we don't ordain Asians. Like,
what the?
Flat out, no native clergy.
I mean, as a black man, I mean, I'm a black woman. As a black woman.
Black man.
I am now a black man. Okay. No. Still a woman. Still a woman.
Yeah.
As a black woman, I get that, right? We have Father Gus, Augustus Tolton. Mm-hmm. He was like, I have to leave my country.
So
this is the same guy, Peter Kibe, you said?
Kibe, yeah. Kibe. K-I-B-E.
Okay.
And so, like, you know, they had just fallen so far from what Francis Xavier had hoped. And he gets there and he's like, you know, they tell him no. And if it were me, I'd be like, fine, I'll start my own church. Like, I don't need you people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need all of this. I have worked so hard. But he was like, okay, I'll go to Rome. And I guess he was tired of boats at that point because he walked from India
to Rome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he actually stopped at Jerusalem on the way because he was like, while I'm on this side of the planet, I'm just gonna like hit up the Holy Land real quick. 3,700 miles, Marcia.
Girl, that's a lot
to
walk. He
walked 3,700 miles. He is so good for pity parties because I'm over here like, I don't know, the church is up a flight of stairs and he's like 3,700 miles and you're like, fair point, yeah. Okay,
I got you. Thank
you. So he walks to Jerusalem, makes his way to Rome. He gets there. He's like, will you ordain me? They're like, we literally have no idea who you are. He was like, oh my gosh, quiz me. And they're like, all right, 6 months later, he's ordained a priest, a deacon. A week after that, he's ordained a priest. And then he's like, okay, I'm going back to Japan. And they're like, they're killing Christians in Japan. And he looks up and he goes, yeah. And they're like, no, like they're wrapping them in straw mats and setting them on fire. They're hanging them on crosses at the edge of the ocean, letting the tide come in to drown them. They're hanging them upside down, sealed in pits of human waste and human remains. They are killing Christians in Japan. And this man looks at them and says, send me back. Mm. And they're like, okay. So he gets on a ship, takes him 14 months to get to Goa. Again, I'd be like, fine, I just live here now. I can't do this anymore. Right? I'm done. I like curry. It'll be great. He keeps going. Sails to Portuguese Macau in China. Tries to get a ship to Japan. They're like, we don't send Christians to Japan. He was like, I know. Like, boil me alive. Set me on fire. And they're like, no. We don't send Christians to Japan because if we send Christians to Japan, they send warships back. So he spends 2 years trying to get a ship. Can't do it. Sails to Siam, to Thailand. Gets on a ship sailing out of the harbor, chased by pirates back into the harbor. They met him. Port authority met him and was like, oh, we found out you're a Christian. We don't send Christians to Japan, but it's our bad. Just tell us you're not and we'll let you go. And he was like, okay, so telling people I'm not a Christian is literally the opposite of what I'm trying to do right now. Mm-hmm. Thanks for playing. 2 years trying to get a ship. Can't do it. So he sails to the Philippines because he's like, all right, Philippines. Like, y'all know how to Catholic, right? Can't get a ship. 2 years. Finally, he's like, I have a hammer. I will build a boat. So he builds himself a ship, Marcia, to sail across 1,000 miles of Pacific Ocean. They finish the ship. They're inspecting it. It's been eaten by termites. He's like, just stick your fingers in the freaking holes. We're getting on that boat. So they sail across 1,000 miles. They're within sight of Japan when they're hit by a typhoon and shipwrecked. But he comes to on this island.
Oh my gosh!
And everybody was saved. He comes to and he's like, are we in Japan? And they told him the name of the island. And he said, oh, thank God. And they were like, ooh, you might have a concussion. Not Japan. And he was like, no, we're on the island St. Francis Xavier sailed to Japan from. Can I borrow a fishing boat? He borrows a fishing boat, rows himself the rest of the way to Japan. It took him 8 years to get from Europe to Japan. It took him 24 years from when he first asked to become a Jesuit until he finally made it back to Japan, a priest of Jesus Christ, all the while knowing he was on his way to torture and certain death, and he never gave up. And then he lived for 9 years. He served, lived in caves, moved only under cover of darkness, and the people came, right? They had to hike through the mountains in monsoon season for days, but they came. Because that was their only opportunity for the sacraments, and they know the sacraments are so essential to who we are. So he served these people. If you've seen the movie Silence, fantastic film. Mm-hmm. You can be angry at the director's opinion that comes through and still find it a very, very beautiful and moving mm-hmm. film. It's really incredible, especially to give you an image of what these martyrs' lives were mm-hmm. like. But eventually he was arrested. And Liam Neeson's character comes in, because he was a factual character. He's a Portuguese priest who had denied his faith and started working for the Japanese in order to undermine the faith of Christians. And so he comes in and he's trying to, like, talk circles around Father Kibe. He's trying to, like, philosophize. And Kibe just looks at him and says, come with me. And Farah's like, what? And Kibe says, renounce your apostasy. Let me absolve you. And then come and die with me for the glory of Jesus Christ. And Fur is like, I can't do that. So he pieces, God rest his soul, and they bring in the master torturer of all of Japan. He's so good. There's two other priests captured with Kibe. Both of them renounce their faith on day one. Kibe, day 10, hanging upside down, he is still singing hymns. He is still preaching. Finally, they were like, nobody else is going to apostatize, right? Like, he's too inspiring. Mm-hmm. They cut him down. They said, this is the man who will never say, I give up. They built a fire on his stomach and pulled out his insides. The most determined man on the face of the planet. And I am inclined to a pity party. But you can't have a pity party when Peter Kibe is standing next to you. Wow. You know? And so, like, with those on either side, right? With Barnabas, who's like, oh my gosh, I love you so much. And Peter Kibe, who's like, yeah, I love you. Get up. Like, keep going. What are you doing? I walked 3,700 miles. I need you to keep going. Like, yeah. It's just beautiful to have those on either side.
Oh, that is...
Isn't he amazing?
That is...
He's amazing. We need a movie. We need a movie.
Yeah. Man, you're good at this. Like, no, this is beautiful. Like, I'm just serious, like, hearing this story. Like, this is why you exist. Like, Brett, to be like this, that. Like, I just am like, yes. Yeah, like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My little friend Joe, who's getting confirmed in a week, picked Blessed Peter Kibe for his confirmation sponsor.
Yes.
And we're driving home from something one day, and it was a Sunday, and he was like, I'm going to go lie on the couch. And I was like, do it, man. It's the Sabbath. He was like, I only have so much longer that I can just lie on the couch all day. And I think he means, like, you know, adulthood is coming.
Yeah.
And he said, because when Blessed Peter Kibe is your confirmation saint, you can't just lie around anymore.
I was like, you get it!
Expect you to get up.
Yeah.
I love that.
He's so great.
I love that. And I am just so grateful to hear that story. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you say that. It's like, Paul, so my family, we have a thing. And I say it all the time, get up and put your shoes on. Because when it's Paul, who was in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in prison. And the angel came to get him. And he was like, we're busting you out. Get up and put your shoes on. Mm-hmm. And when you're saying that, I always think, because of my family, that's what, well, when we say that all the time, because it's like, God's not going to do anything for you that you can't do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to do these wonderful miracles, but you need to do the ordinary things, like, yes, putting your shoes on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's, yes, just kind of the whole, ooh, time.
Yes, that's a word.
Like, okay. No, it's like a thing. Like, uh-huh. We heard it one time in Bible class, and then my mom was like, she really carried that with her. And then I was like, I internalized it. But my mom is so crazy. My mom forgot. She forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, Mom, you got to go and put your shoes on. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, Mom, don't you remember this? And, like, it was seriously how I live my life. Like, mm-hmm. And then she'd forgotten. She's like, I think I forgot so I can remember in this moment.
Yes.
And, like, mm-hmm. and that's, yes, the thing. So you're talking about, like, mm-hmm. Peter Kibe. And, like, he, like, this man was always shod.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm serious. Like, I was like, I mean, it's like on. Like the brotherhood of the traveling shoes. But anyway, but no, and then you're talking about him, and it's just like, just beautiful, because, yeah, like, I was like, yes, I'm like, this man had his shoes on, like, nobody had to tell him,
mm-hmm.
and he mm-hmm. just did amazing. Like, I'm like, I have chills. Like, I'm like, it's like almost like we had mm-hmm. you on the show to talk about him. Let me talk about St. Barnabas. But Peter Kibe. And mm-hmm. this is why you are our favorite hagiographer.
Yeah.
Like, this is why. Like,
I got so excited when I discovered him. I told his story 4 times the next day, including mm-hmm. twice to the same audience. I had like 10 of them where I was hanging out at breakfast and told it. And then I got up 10 minutes later and was like, sorry to my breakfast table. I'm just really excited.
Yeah. And I told story's so nice. Again, I gotta tell it twice.
He's so inspiring. And I think also, like, for this moment in the American church, right, to see the racism that he endured and his ability to persevere, but to recognize that, like, it's not those circumstances that made him a saint,
mm-hmm.
but the beautiful things that God was doing in his response mm-hmm. to those circumstances. Mm-hmm. I think so often, like, we tell the stories in really distorted ways, right? Like, we talk about people being abused and we're like, and it was beautiful because God sanctified her. And you're like, no, no, the abuse was not beautiful. The mm-hmm. abuse was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to name that, right? Like,
yes.
we have to say, this was ugly and this was evil. And it is incredible that God is able to bring good out of that, yes. evil. But Peter Kibe could have been a saint without people being racist at him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, he could
mm-hmm.
have. And he mm-hmm. could have been a saint,
yes.
without persecution and without being murdered. Like, we might not know his name if he hadn't been persecuted, but, like, sainthood is not something that God needs evil to create.
Absolutely.
Yes. Right? Like, holiness can increase in times of great suffering, but it's not like God's sitting there like, oh yeah, sell that one into slavery because that's how I'm gonna save her. Like, no, I'm just, I don't have any time for people who have this distorted sense that, like, God wills evil. Like, can God bring good out of evil?
Absolutely.
Yes, and it's incredible. Mm-hmm. But like we were talking about Saint Josephine Bakita earlier, like, would she have been a canonized saint if she had lived her whole life in Sudan? No, probably not. But she could still have been a saint,
yes.
right? God could still have saved her.
Yeah.
She still could have given incredible glory to God in her seeking after him, even if she never once met a Christian and never heard the good news, right? Like, we get to hear her story now, and that is beautiful for us, but that doesn't mean that God sent this evil against her, right? And it's just...
Yeah.
People can use that then to justify so much ugliness and so much evil in their own lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say, well, we were originally going to talk about her, but man, Peter Kibbe, I talk about him. That's right. I'm going to get a jersey. Kibbe 24.
Yes! I like it as an adjective that means badass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
right?
I
so,
love
like,
it,
that's
yes.
So Kibbe. So I'll say that to kids.
Yes!
Right? They're like, oh, yeah, like I gave up meat for Latin. I'm like, that is Kibbe, right? And like just the look
I
on kids' faces when they know him,
was.
They're like...
Like, that's quite
so
a compliment.
Good. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's
real
key.
That's
real
key,
babe. And, like, we didn't really get into her, but that's okay because you have a book coming out.
I do.
We can all read about her. Like, here's the thing. We can all read about St. Josephine Bakita's story as I feel like it should be told.
Mm-hmm.
Not just coming from a place of, hey, there's a black saint who was a slave, but she forgave her captors. Isn't that great? Can you forgive me all of my racism and microaggressions?
Yeah.
And so, but it's amazing. It's really beautiful the way that you tell her story and the way that you tell the story of every saint. The book is called Saints Around the World, right? Tell us about this story. Like, what? Like,
so
tell us.
Excited.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's 100 different stories of saints from almost 70 different countries.
Wow.
Which is just so exciting because, you know, we were talking about representation earlier. Obviously, like, well, I guess it's not obvious to everybody because I've gotten a lot of pushback. I think it's obvious that racial and ethnic representation is really important because people recognize that their culture has capacity for great holiness, and they recognize that they themselves are not second-class citizens in the church the way that it can sometimes seem when you're only looking at churches built by Italians who only put Italian saints in their windows, which is a totally reasonable thing to do when only Italians ever walked in your door.
Right.
But, you know, I wanted a children's book that showed the diversity of the church, not just in terms of race and culture, but also in terms of ability, in terms of family of origins. So we've got a saint whose parents were never married, and we've got a saint whose parents were divorced, and we've got a saint who herself was divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for kids who are going through these things, to be like, oh my gosh, like, that's my family. For kids with limb differences, to see pictures, because a lot of times with disabled saints, the art shows them in their, big time air quotes here, glorified body. And just erases the disability. And, like, there's definitely room for theological speculation as to, like, what bodies are going to look like that were born without all of their limbs, right? Like,
and I love talking about that,
exactly,
but not right now.
Exactly. But, like, even if it were a known truth that people's bodies would all look typical in heaven, which it's really not.
We're
like,
not in heaven now.
Exactly. And it's erasing who they were on earth and it's erasing images of holiness. There was actually a guy on Instagram who drew a beautiful image of servant of God Darwin Ramos, who is a Filipino boy who died in 2012.
Wow.
I think he was born in 1997. Something like that. Pretty close to those dates. And he had muscular dystrophy. And so he used a wheelchair from the time that he was 5 years old. And he had very weak muscle tone. And this man drew him standing up. And someone tagged me and I was like, what a beautiful image. I only wish that it showed him in his wheelchair, because that was a really important part of his experience of life on earth.
And also a first class relic.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, yeah, it is.
I think it would be second, right?
Second class. Yeah, sorry. Second. Misspoke.
So the artist actually reached out to me and he was like, I thought about what you said and I had thought like I should draw him as he is in heaven, but like we don't know that. And like he and I had gone back and forth a little bit and he actually drew a new image.
That's beautiful. Right.
But so I wanted disabled saints. I wanted saints who were little people. I wanted saints who were super old. I wanted saints who were failures. I wanted saints who were grave sinners. I wanted saints who really struggled in prayer. Because I want these stories to be exciting, but I also really want them to talk about Jesus and like the particular difficulties that you're going to have in your life. And like, what do you do when you're praying and you don't hear anything? Right. And so when I'm talking about Mother Teresa, like we kind of mentioned, you know, the babies and the lepers, but it was mostly about darkness and prayer. And is it possible to be a saint when prayer is really hard and really boring for you? Which, you know, the look on kids' faces when I tell them that it's okay if prayer is hard and boring, they think that they don't know how to pray and that they don't know God. And you're like, oh, man, nobody knows how to pray. Like,
yeah, it's real.
Literally a Bible verse.
I'm a grown up.
You're good.
Idea.
You're good.
She's with like theology degrees.
Right. Yes. So my illustrator is one of my best friends and the mother of my oldest goddaughter. And she's just this beautiful artist. Oh. I really, you know, like a lot of Catholic books are not beautiful. Mm-hmm. They might be fine. Mm-hmm. But Lindsay's art, like,
it's beautiful.
It's stuff that you want to frame.
It is beautiful.
I can't rip up the book because we need to read the book. So maybe I need to buy a second one.
This is Lindsay's thing. So her shop is Amon-Rad Toys on Etsy. Mm-hmm. And she is going to sell the print separately. But she was like, honestly, I would just buy two copies of the book. Mm-hmm. And I would just cut one to pieces and leave the other one intact. So, I mean, you know.
It might be cheaper to buy another book.
I mean, she's getting the money either way. So
less. So, you know, you can buy like the nice, bigger prints that'll look a little bit nicer.
No, it's beautiful art. Like, I got to see some of the stories and the art. The thing about it is you keep saying it's a children's book, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a book that children can also read. Mm-hmm. Because I am like, I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have children, but I'm like, I can't wait to read these stories.
Yeah,
I can't wait to learn more. Right. Like in hearing them and reading them and seeing them, because I may have an advance copy.
we might
it's okay. It's okay. We might have seen it, but I did order mine legit. and I can't wait till it gets here. But at the same time, it's just, like these stories, it's like, no, I want to hear this story.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So the voice is definitely written to children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I would say most like serious practicing Catholics are going to know 20 of these 100 stories. Like it's a lot of people that you've never heard. And some of them are like the stories are in there for grownups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like, because this is not going to resonate. Like Maria Teresa von Fohlenweber, who I was reading earlier, who got her vocation when she was 55. Like there's not a lot of 7-year-olds. Yes. Who are really gonna connect with the idea of spending 55 years not sure if you're in God's will and like stress. Like maybe some.
Like the 41-year-old over
exactly,
here.
Exactly, but
who is still not married and not a nun.
A lot of adults who are gonna see that and be like, oh, okay. All right. So some of them are like totally just snuck in there for the adults. And like the language is written for the kids. And I also, I worked really hard on not using traumatic language. I actually got a number of trauma specialists to look over some of the stories to make sure.
Beautiful.
So like there's one story, Marie Clémentine, the one my Mary Claire loves, and she was killed in an attempted rape. And the way that I phrased it was he tried to touch her in a way she did not like. And that is never okay. So she kicked and she fought to protect herself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh,
and so like,
yeah.
Like it's there if you want to if you want to read
that. Parents definitely going to be able to know that.
But it's about agency. It's about boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's about defending yourself. Right? And it's not, and I specifically said, she's not a saint because she fought back.
Mm-hmm.
She's a saint because she forgave, right? Mm-hmm. And like Saint Germain was really severely abused by her stepmother. And again, that's one of those stories where they'll talk about it and kind of be like, oh, look what good God did through this. And you're like, I mean, yes. And so the way that I phrased it, I said, I hope that if someone is treating you very badly, you will tell a grown-up. And if that grown-up doesn't fix the problem, I hope you will tell another grown-up and another until somebody helps you. God doesn't want you to be treated badly. He wants you to be loved and cherished. Mm-hmm. Like, because I need to stop for a minute and not let anybody toxic in your life convince you that it's okay that they're treating you like this, because that's what happened to Saint Germain. Like, we're going to stop right now, and we're going to say, tell a grown-up, tell another grown-up, tell another grown-up, tell another grown-up. Like, this is not okay, right? So, like, sort of those things all throughout where I'm like, I need children to know these things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to put them in these stories and hope that the Holy Spirit is going to work in their hearts and help them just to know how loved they are. Yeah. And grown-ups too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I need more saint friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mary Magdalene, she's my day one.
She's amazing.
She's my day one. But I'm going to need...
She's always ready to ride.
Like, she really, like, all day long, the holy boldness, I got that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to need more saint friends. Mm-hmm. Mike, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, like, this has been so fun.
I really have enjoyed this conversation. Mm-hmm. I hope that all of our listeners have also gotten some... I mean, I hope they have.
And I think one of the things I love about this book as a parent is that, like, even when you're talking about a saint who found their vocation at 55, it's planting seeds for my kids so that when they are 25 and they were like, wait, I thought I wanted this job and not that job, or when they're 30 and they're not living with me anymore, and maybe they're like married with kids or whatever, like, they're like, but wait, like, I knew this because I know this saint. And it's something that, like, even though, and to talk about this all the time with people at the parish is like, we all need somebody. We need the whole church to help be a witness to our kids. Because at some point, they don't want to be... I'm not their witness anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always going to be their witness. But, like, there are going to be times where I need somebody else to speak Jesus Christ into their lives. And so, like, you know, the saints are, like, part of that big, that big family. You know, we think about it as just, like, their mentor in the choir or whatever. But, like, you know, like... Gosh, if you can't entrust your son or daughter to St. Monica, like, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Or, like, you know, like, these are people who I know that they're holy, that they are with the Lord, that their intercession is powerful, and that they care. Like, you know, one of the things I always tell parents at baptism prep is, you know, like, the reason we sing the Litany of the Saints, or say it, depending on the priest, is because we are not only asking for their prayers and inviting the whole family of God, but we also know that these saints love and care for our children as much as we do, that they want the same things for them. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're with God in heaven, like, of course they are going to do everything they can, like, and it's going to be even better than what I can do while I'm here on this earth. So, you know, it's great.
Yeah, no, it's great. I know. Seriously, it's going to be, well, we already know your kids like the book.
They
like,
do.
They like, they really it. Are like, when can we have
even
this
the
book?
Boys who are, like, very skeptical of church stuff because it's quote unquote boring. They're not wrong.
Right. Exactly. There's, I always like, say, I'm like, there's always going to be a miracle at Mass. I don't have to love what happens before it. But Mike, thank you so much for being here. This has been so great. I'm going to get more saint friends.
Yes.
Shannon's kid's going to get more saint. Like, everybody gets a saint friend. Hey, friend. You're
I
do.
I feel
friend.
Like Oprah when I'm talking.
Yeah, it's like you're getting their friends.
Pass them out to everybody.
Do it, man. Yeah. I mean, seriously, hey, so saint friends Jesus. Will get you further than a car.
Oh, yeah, especially the ones who walk 3,700 miles. Keep it, I'll give you a piggyback.
Yeah, it's fine. He's got you. Yes. He may go really keep me that.
Yeah.
Or however you say it.
So keep
it. So keep it. I think, is it okay with you? We can forego the offertory because I want to say this
mean,
book.
Like, we offer
get
saints.
This book. Get the saints book. Around the world.
Saints
so.
.com.
Yes. So you can get Meg's book at saintsaroundtheworld.com, and you can follow Meg Hunter Kilmer. Is it at M Hunter Kilmer on Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
And are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I got a podcast. I got a YouTube channel.
Right.
I remember every couple of years.
So yeah, it's great.
I like this.
I write for Alatea. I write for OSB. I don't know.
She's right in the thing.
She's
and
in Google search.
And she,
Google
yeah, you can Google
exactly.
search her.
I'm the only Meg Hunter Kilmer in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, yes, she is. Look at that.
That's why when I got married, I lost my uniqueness. Yeah. I was a unique Google search, but not anymore.
No.
Now I'm a blonde, white real estate agent out in Colorado.
I love it. I love it. So we're going to follow you on Instagram. We already follow
and
you
everything.
On Instagram. Mm-hmm. And everything. I already have my Saints Around the World book ordered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm quite excited about
it. And you got an email with free coloring sheets and free sample of the audiobooks.
Yes. Oh, so it's going to be
your coloring.
Great.
Get back on
I love an audiobook. All of those Saints. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are listening medium.
Then you don't have to
medium.
Read it to your children. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to figure out how to pronounce the names. Mm-hmm. I put the pronunciation for all of the names in the book. But even that, you know, when it's like Augustine von Viethuy, Dominic Dindat, Nicholas Bouy Docte, you're like,
that's a whole name.
That's a lot.
That's a whole name.
Many letters. Mm-hmm. So then you can listen and then you learn it and then it'll be, and you know.
Roll off the tongue.
Albert Chmielowski, right? Like the Poles, those are the ones where I'm like, I have no idea how you say that.
Yeah.
So that's what we got. Man, we got some Saint friends. We got our friend Meg.
Yeah.
It's been a great day here on Plaid Skirts and Basic Black. We hope that you enjoyed this very special surprise episode because we know you guys have been missing us.
Mm-hmm.
Like
we've been missing you.
We've been missing you guys too. So we want to say thank you so much to Meg Hunter Kilmer. Remember, you can follow her on Instagram at mhunterkilmer and make sure to check out saintsaroundtheworld.com. If you know, you know. I want to say thank you to God for creating these amazing men and women. Thank you to these amazing men and women whose witnesses we are super excited to read about. And Meg has made a life in sharing. I want to say thank you to St. Paul Center for making this book possible. We're super excited. Thank you, Shannon, for being an awesome co-host with your
Thank you.
We appreciate your active listening here. You can follow Shannon on Instagram at
Team Porter Black.
And you can follow our podcast at PSBB Podcast. You can follow me, Marcia, at Stylishly Sia, all on Instagram. Thank you so much. We will see you guys next time. Hopefully it won't be 4 months.